The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning, everyone. If you could join me in scripture reading today, the books in your pews we'll be reading in Genesis chapter 22. It'll be on page 16, chapter 22, verse 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said, to this day, on that mount of the Lord, it shall be provided.
This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. My name is Carson. I'm also one of the pastors here. I'm glad to have you. We're having Student Sunday, and that means that we have a ministry called Life Connection Students to middle and high school students. So if you're a new person, we wanted to make sure you knew that. We also partner with a parachurch ministry in this community called Young Life. And so we're taking a pause. We're hitting the pause button on our Ten Commandments series specifically to celebrate the work of God in the lives of these students. And in the most immediate sense, also to celebrate what he's been doing at camp. We sent students to Fuge Camp in Glorieta. There's another set of students that went to Young Life Camp as well. So we just want to celebrate that this morning. But if you've been around for a while, you might recognize me, but you may not know Brent. And so we wanted to introduce you to Brent Masters. We brought him on at the beginning of the year on staff as our student ministry director. He's going to be teaching from God's Word this morning and facilitating some of these interviews. We have a copy of Student Sunday Bingo. So count the number of times that you hear things like "y'all guys" and "critters." Brent is originally from Texas. Some of y'all are looking for it. I'm just kidding. There's no actual bingo card in there. I'm just messing with you.
It could be.
Just a little levity to get things going. So that said, can you all encourage Brent this morning?
All right. All right, good morning. Thank you all for being here. So as Carson mentioned, this last summer we went to Fuge Camp at Glorieta, and we had an absolute awesome time while we were there. We have an incredibly awesome group of students that you probably heard yelling and stuff over there. They're awesome. We also have a really awesome group of student leaders, adults who pour into these students. More importantly, though, we have an awesome God. So, Tyler Kastebaum, he's one of our leaders that went with us to camp. He said something that really resonated with me while we were at camp. He said that he wholeheartedly believes that all sorts of difficulties happen when God is moving in students' lives. While we were there at camp and on our way to camp, this definitely proved to be a very true statement, as we had issues with rental vehicles, again, and not getting the vehicles that we were promised to receive for our trip out there. One of them, on our way, just stopped in the middle of the highway. I feel bad for the poor leader that was driving that car. It just stopped in the middle of the highway, and then another one, a tire, just decided that it was done for the trip as well. So we had two vehicles that just went out of commission on us real quick. And we were starting to wonder, at least I was starting to wonder, like, are we even going to make it there? So we did make it. And when we finally got there, we did begin to see God move in the lives of students. So there, of course, like even while we were there, there were, of course, difficulties going on. There's all sorts of things, like, you know, of course, there's tiredness. People are tired. There's drama. There's frustrations. There's a hospital visit, and an unnamed student is even outrun by a treadmill the second I turn around at the hotel. So that was fun. But I can safely say that despite all these difficulties, all the leaders that went, we would say that those sacrifices were absolutely worth it. All the energy that was sacrificed, time, comfort, even an ankle that was lost in a dance party, and losing maybe even a little bit of sanity, was absolutely worth it to see students come to know Jesus. So believing adults taking students to camp or discipling them can make a massive impact on students' lives. But a lot of students, though, don't have believing adults that are pouring into them at all. There are lots of students who just don't know Jesus and haven't heard who he is. Kids today face an epidemic of anxiety and depression. Many consider harming themselves. Narcissism is common. Societal differences are weaponized, and students grow up in a divided culture. On top of that, almost 70% of kids who grow up in church find themselves leaving the faith as soon as they leave home. Today, though, we're celebrating what's been going on over this last school year, what has gone on in the lives of students. Over this last school year, we've had three students, not counting camp last year, who have trusted in Jesus and have been baptized. That was Sebastian, who was reading scripture for us and did an excellent job, has an amazing voice. Michaela Hayes and Katie Bledsoe, who've trusted in Jesus and have been baptized over this last school year. There are also several others who have trusted in Jesus, whether that was at Fuge Camp, at Glorietta, Young Life Camp, or also just over the course of ministry over this last year. Then they'll be baptized soon in the coming months. 10 students are also now consistently serving in KidsGo. They're joining with us in the mission of pursuing the next generation with the redemptive grace of Jesus. On top of that, over 2/3 of our students have been in at least some form of small group discipleship being poured into by a believing adult. One student named Andrew has even served overseas this summer and is a missionary in Iceland currently. So over this last year at GCOM in camp, we've gone through several Old Testament books, focusing on the stories and seeing how they point forward to Jesus. So as Sebastian read today, we're focusing on Genesis chapter 22 with Abraham and Isaac. Looking a little bit before this story, Abraham was promised, he was promised a son. And through that son's lineage, the whole earth was going to be blessed. Abraham and his wife Sarah waited a long time for this son to be born. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was finally born. And several years later, here in chapter 22, where we pick up, God comes to Abraham and gives us this really strange request to sacrifice his son, saying, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Abraham is then obedient. He goes where God told him to go. He takes his son, Isaac, who obediently follows him, with the wood of the sacrifice on his back, and they go. This seems crazy, but he listens to what the Lord told him, and he does it. Abraham was obedient. He may have had doubts, I'm sure he did, but he'd already seen God deliver on the seemingly impossible promise of a son in his old age, so he chooses obedience because he trusts God to fulfill his promises. The truth of who God is enables obedience. Just as Abraham was willing to give his only son, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. The gospel is an enabling power that motivates us to express loving obedience to God. So in light of this, I would like to invite two students to come up here for an interview. That'll be Liberty Forrest and Mason Smith. Mason will be a freshman at Truman. Please give him a hand. Mason will be a freshman this year at Truman, and Liberty will be a junior at Blue Springs. Both of these students went to Glorietta Camp this last year and are obediently following Jesus. So, all right, how are y'all doing?
Pretty well.
Pretty well.
Great.
So I asked y'all this last time, so, you know, I've had time to kind of get used to it a little bit. On a scale of 1 to 10, like 0 or 1 being like, I'm totally cool, this is a breeze, to 10 being I could pass out right now and we might need someone in here to just come scrape you up off the floor. Where are y'all at?
Probably 3.
Probably 3. Four? Okay. Nice. That's awesome. Four. I was at a 5 last service. I'm at probably about a 3 now as well.
So. 6.
Yeah. So. Hey, we're getting there. Good job, guys. So, obviously, y'all two went to camp this last year. So what was, during the course of camp, what was your favorite part of camp? What was just favorite?
Probably my favorite part of camp was Adventure Track, which was, we had all these games across the campus after lunch. And then one day we had a basketball tournament. And Coach Brent Masters had us wake up at 5 a.m. to practice.
That's right.
So that was fun.
We got that work in. So.
My favorite part of camp was, like, for the Bible answer, the rec time or, like, Bible study, but because it was actually really fun and my group was really entertaining, to say the least. But my favorite part was probably Josh getting beat up by a treadmill. Josh's unnamed student, by the way.
Yeah, formerly unnamed student. Josh, how you doing over there, Josh? You all right? Okay. All right. So while we were at camp, we obviously talked a lot about the Bible and things like that, but what would you say was something that you learned while we were at camp?
Probably one big thing I learned is that God doesn't really care how you look, how you sound. He just loves you no matter what, and that it helped me realize that it's not on us to worry and judge other people. So.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that I learned was that worship is the weapon to silence the enemy. Because, like, whenever you're worshiping, you're not thinking about anything else. It's, like, just solely thinking about praising God. And so all the extra, like, outside stuff is, like, blocked out.
That's awesome. So what would you say while we were there was most impactful? Most impactful.
Probably one of the biggest things was seeing people my age grow in their faith and make decisions in Christ.
Yeah. And watching people who I wished that they would, but, like, wasn't sure when it would happen, like, put their faith in Christ. And also worship time was really good.
Yeah, that was sweet. So over this last year, just being involved with student ministries, could be camp or anything like that, how have you seen God move in your life over this last school year, and how do you want to grow going forward?
This past year, there's been a lot of obstacles in my life, and God wasn't the first person I talked to about them, and I definitely feel like I doubted God's ability in my life. And going forward, I just want to remember that God is on my side, He has my back, and He's in control. So,
I haven't had that many obstacles this last year, but I've been very busy, and I feel like whenever I get super busy, I never think about, like, Bible journaling or prayer or anything like that, like, intentionally. But I've had Tara Ove and Ali Chalk in my group since, like, 2020, I think, and they're really good at, like, keeping me grounded and reminding me about, like, staying in the gospel.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just, this will be our last question, so feel free to just hoop and holler as soon as they get off the stage. Not yet. Let them finish first. What is one thing that you're wanting to see this coming year in student ministry by the end of the year? What do you want to be able to say?
This year, as I move into high school, I just want to be a leader to the incoming middle schoolers because I remember when I first started middle school, I looked up to the high schoolers. They were a big role model for me because I, like, saw how they grew. It was just really cool to me, so I want to give back.
And I would love to see more ways for relationships between middle school and high schoolers to form, because as the oldest girl in student ministry, because I'm going to be a junior, I feel like there's not very many opportunities to connect with the younger middle school girls, and I notice even when we do have takeovers, it's, like, separated, like, by groups, so I would love to see more ways for us to, like, get connected.
That is awesome. Thank you guys so much. Y'all did an awesome job in the interview. Y'all are awesome. Love you guys. Y'all did awesome. Okay, so students in the room, having heard Mason and Liberty, what steps in faith and obedience might God be calling you to? You need to finally turn from sin and put your faith in Christ. Do you need to take a step to confess your faith in Christ publicly through baptism, or maybe do you just need to join a serve team or something like that, working with Kids Go and start serving? The main point of today's lesson, though, is that the gospel is an enabling power. As we've discussed, the gospel enables us to be obedient, and the gospel also enables us to take risks. So we're going to hop back into our story with Abraham and Isaac. So as they're going up this mountain, Isaac notices that, you know, something's kind of weird going on, something's a bit fishy. He asks his dad, he says, behold, which is, that's how you should start sentences from here on out. Say, behold. He says, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? That's a pretty valid question, I might add. And I can only imagine what is going through Abraham's head right now as he has this miraculously given son of promise that God seems to be telling him to go and kill. I'd be questioning, is this God really good? Is what I'm hearing from God really true? And is God's promises really going to happen? Abraham's reply, though, is interesting. He tells Isaac that God will provide the lamb for the offering. It'd be really easy to look at what Abraham is saying and think that maybe Abraham is lying to Isaac. I mean, the guy's about to kill his son, so. But Abraham believes in God and his promises. And a few chapters before this, Abraham was counted as righteous for his faith in the promise that this miraculous birth of Isaac would come. So faced with this choice, though, of saying no to God, that he would follow his own way, or trusting that God would fulfill his promise, Abraham chooses to trust in God. Abraham takes a risk in saying that God will provide. Because Abraham had faith in God, and the God who keeps his promises, Abraham was willing to take this risk when he may not know what the outcome will be. He believes that this Messiah, who would be a blessing to the whole world, who would be the one to crush the head of the snake, he believes that this person was coming and was coming through his lineage. His faith in that promise led him to be able to take a risk in this situation, telling his son that God would provide a sacrifice. So how does the gospel enable us to take risks? Because we have trust in Jesus, a risk might even be taking a step in faith by the non-believer to say, I don't know Jesus, and I need to, and talking to somebody about that. For believers in the room, taking a risk might be saying yes in some way to investing in middle and high school students. Taking a risk for a new student in this room might be going to something like the takeover pool party at the Hudson's house or joining a student gospel community this coming Sunday morning. Another risk as a student might be facing the fear of rejection and inviting someone to the back-to-school bash. So once again, the gospel is an enabling power. It enables us to be obedient, it enables us to take risks, and finally we'll see that the gospel enables us to make sacrifices. So in this story, Isaac is what we call a type of Christ, meaning that he points forward to Jesus and who he is. So both of them, both Jesus and Isaac, they're children of promise. They're promised to their parents long before their birth, and in Jesus' case, he's promised to the whole world long in advance of his own birth. Isaac was born miraculously to a 90-year-old mother and a 100-year-old father. Jesus was born to a young virgin named Mary. Even on the way to both of their presumed death, there are quite a few similarities. As they're going up this mountain, these mountains are likely part of the same mountain range. Isaac carries the wood for the sacrifice on his back. Jesus, similarly, carries the wood of the sacrifice on his back, his though in the form of a cross. Both Isaac and Jesus, they're both obedient to their fathers. And in both sacrifices, God provides. The first being the ram in Isaac's place. There was not a lamb in that day. So notice, like I said, he said it was a ram, not a lamb. So they're different animals, kind of. They're similar, but they're different. But however, this Lamb of God, he was not provided until Jesus. So Jesus was the Lamb that was slain. God asks Abraham to sacrifice his child of promise and provides for him with the ram. But ultimately, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus also says in John 10:18, that no one takes it from me, referring to his own life, but he lays it down and have authority to take it up again, referring to his resurrection. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus willingly lays down his life as a sacrifice for us when he was perfect. He was fully God and fully man, while we are the ones who deserve this death because we are sinful. Yet God fulfills his promise of providing a lamb in Jesus, and we just have to trust in him. Our trusting him, knowing that Jesus gave his life on the cross and was raised on the third day and still is in heaven, is why we can trust that God will continue to fulfill his promises and that there will be a day where there is no more pain and suffering and we will get to live with him in a new heaven and a new earth. While we have that eventual assured hope, we can also trust in him today. Because of the gospel, we can make sacrifices today. Jesus has overcome death, and because of him, we won't taste eternal punishment. We have hope in death. So I would like to take a moment to interview a couple of student leaders here who have made sacrifices in their lives to be able to invest in students. They are by no means the only ones in this room who have done that. There are several, especially those who went to camp this last year. I'd like to shout out Cassie, April, Dylan, and Tyler, who gave up significant time away from their families and their works to be able to invest in students over that week so that they could see people coming in. Please clap for them. At this point, I would like to invite Aaron O'Neill, who serves with middle school girls, and Bailey Higgins, who leads a high school ministry area that goes where students are, called Young Life. Please give them a hand.
Hi.
Hi. Thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all again. So y'all both serving students in different capacities, but y'all both do an awesome job. It's been a pleasure to watch these two pour into students here. So how do you serve here at Life Connection? How do you serve students?
Yeah, I get the privilege of being area director for Young Life in Independence, and so that just means that I am part of an organization, a ministry that's specific to high school students. We have a heart for the teenager that is not currently plugged into a church, but also giving the student who maybe has grown up in the church their whole life a tool to invite their friends into.
And I serve with middle school girls here at Student Ministry, so parents bring their kids on Sunday mornings, and I get to hang out with them and also serve in a small group discipleship group, which is 3 to 4 girls plus me, who meet on a semi-regular basis to talk about the Lord, and also get to do all the fun takeovers and things like that.
That's awesome. So with those, how have you been able to connect with students? Like, how are you able to get connected with these students in both of y'all's cases?
I'm going first? Okay. So through Young Life, we like to go where kids are. So we connect with students where they are. So that might be at a school, in the cafeteria. That might be at games, at band concerts, where they work, Tropical Snow, Hawaiian Bros, Adventure Oasis, like just wherever students are, that is where we connect with them. We also invite them into contexts that we create. So that might be club, campaigners, over the table. I'm forgetting something, but yeah, through those ways.
And we have student ministry here on Sunday mornings during second service where the kids come to us and we get to spend time with them, learning what's important to them, what's going on in their lives, and sharing our heart for Jesus with them. And then also with the discipleship groups, being really intentional about bringing those students into my life or our lives and showing them what it looks like to live on mission.
That's awesome. So what might be just one encouraging story that you've seen in the lives of students over the last however long?
Yeah, I was reminded of one when I got here this morning. So really cool to see a student reading scripture in the local church, and that student was also part of Young Life Things. We also have just a group of, there are kids sitting in local churches, this one and others, because we have spent time with them. So that's really encouraging. And then we also took a trip this summer to Timberwolf. It's a camp in Michigan. And so several students gave their lives to the Lord, but then also students who have maybe been walking with Jesus for a while now have this vision of investing in someone else and pouring into their spiritual growth too.
That's awesome.
It's been really cool. I've been with student ministry for 3 or 4 years, so seeing students go from, you know, a sixth grader who's a little bit awkward, doesn't know what they need to do, needs chair lessons, to growing into these young adults who are pursuing Jesus and sharing a passion for learning about the Lord and inviting others in and welcoming them. It's just really cool to see them grow and be able to partner with parents and bring them along on that journey.
That's awesome. So this will be the last question, but anything else that you would just like to add? Anything that you think would be pertinent information for the congregation to hear?
Oh, yeah. We are praying that our team would grow. So if you are sitting in this room or you know someone or you're watching online and you love Jesus and you love teenagers, we would love to talk to you about what it looks like to be a Young Life leader, how we do that, and opportunities that we have. So on August 15th, we are hosting an informational meeting. You're not signing up for anything yet, but our team will be there, and we would love to just talk to you, start a conversation about being a Young Life leader and what it looks like to partner with the local church and see more students in Independence come to know who Jesus is.
For me, I know one of the biggest deciding factors in whether a student stays in church after they've graduated from high school and gone off to college is whether they have had adults who love the Lord pouring into them throughout middle school and high school outside of just their parents or their family. I know that was true for me. If it weren't for other adults in my life, I may not have stayed in the church. So I feel like sometimes middle schoolers get a bad rap. Like, they can be a little crazy sometimes, but that's what makes them great. And so if that's something that resonates with you, ask me, ask Brent, other leaders. We'd love to give you some more information.
Thank you. Thank you both. Y'all guys are awesome. It's people like y'all are the reason that students are here, and we really thank you for that. So please give them a hand as they go. Thank you. So as we've discussed today, the gospel is an enabling power. It enables us to be obedient, to take risks, and to make sacrifices. This could be in so many ways. Maybe you go to the Young Life Interest meeting that Bailey was talking about, sacrificing time, time in an evening. Maybe it is just making it possible for your student to attend church and gospel community on a Sunday morning. Maybe as a student, you invite a friend to a gospel community on a Sunday morning or back-to-school bash, or take a step to serving Kids Co. or in other areas. Maybe as someone else here, it may be as simple as, I just want to know who Jesus is. Maybe signing up for men's and women's Bible studies, which students y'all guys are invited to. Or an equip class or a gospel community, just that may be the best next step. Maybe it's asking myself or another student leader, as Aaron alluded to, what it might look like to serve in students and what the needs are to be a part of bringing the redemptive grace of Jesus to the next generation. However this looks, the gospel is an enabling power because Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Lamb who was slain in our place where we deserve death, and he is alive. That is why each week we take part in the Lord's Supper. We do this each week as a reminder of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We do this not to earn salvation. That's already been done for us by faith in Jesus. The bread represents his broken body, and the juice represents his blood spilled for us. If you are not a believer, we ask that you please remain where you are and consider what Jesus has offered in his life, death, and resurrection. I will pray, and then please join us in worship. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to share about students. God, I pray for the students in this room who have trusted in you, and also for those who haven't, God. Pray for people in here that have a desire to serve students, and I pray that you enable them and empower them to go forward and serve students, Lord. Lord, we thank you, and we love you. In your son's name, I pray. Amen.